Yeah, we've got a new sermon series today that I've been looking forward to and wanted to share with you. I'm kind of amazed at the speed at which things are changing. Now, I bet, like you, as we get older, things seem to be changing a lot faster and faster. Let me help you feel really old by sharing a couple things that Gen Zs, those born between 1996 and 2010, have in common. These are things that they're not familiar with. They have never heard the phrase, "Where's the beef?" Or, "I have fallen and I can't get up." If you use those phrases to them, they're going to just look at you, thinking, "What are they talking about?" They have never gone to a Blockbuster store to get a VHS. That's beyond their mind even thinking about doing. They have no idea what a floppy disk is on a computer. Which I think is really ironic, because the computers now show the little icon of a floppy disk to mean record. So I think that's kind of like the computer people's joke that, all you old people, this is a floppy disk and we're just going to put it up here. You can't really use it. This Gen Z have never heard the phrase, "beat me," when we've had beepers. Some of you remember the beeper generation? Yeah, everybody's waving me, yeah, that was me getting beeped. They have never had to use a dial-up to get internet. Remember when you first turned it on, making all that noise, you know, getting on. They don't know what that is. They hear that, and they're like, "What's wrong with my computer?" As a matter of fact, they've never been without the internet or cable TV. They've had that all their life. They don't know life without it. They don't know who shot JR and have no idea who JR is. And if we have any Gen Zs here, they're like, "JR? What? JR?" They have never bought McDonald's that came in a styrofoam container. And most have never seen a black and white TV, and they have always had a remote control. See, when I was a kid, I was the remote control. Some of you were the remote control, weren't you? I was the youngest in the family, so I was the remote control. We had this big blonde console TV that specifically...
Sorry. We're on the wrong sermon.
We're on the wrong sermon.
Yeah.
Mine says October 27th. That's why I wanted to get up and do an intro. Well, we're going
to
do this sermon.
Oh, I'm going to pull it
down. Okay, just so you know, when there's no... slides changing, that's why, okay? It's possible that I have the wrong sermon in my notes. We'll go with that. You'd never know if I hadn't told you, though. Doesn't it make you feel old, though, hearing all those things, hearing that stuff? It's like, man, oh man, how old can I possibly be? We live in a time when we want to talk to somebody in the same room, you'll text them. How many's texted somebody in the same room before? Come on. Yeah. Isn't that something? They're in the same room. We text them. We have only address book we have is the one on our computer, and it has 15 numbers or emails for four people. Mm-hmm. But it's the only book you have. One of the things that I have lost in our digital culture is the feeling of family and closeness. Face-to-face conversations are less frequent. We feel more isolation, loneliness, futility, it seems to be. And our byproduct of the shifting culture is that we are lonely. I used this video clip once before, but I really like it. I want us to watch this rendition of the Nine Inch Nails song, "Hurt." Oh, you don't even have that. I will sing it for you now. It's okay. You don't have to have that, because I'm not going to need it. Okay. We're hurting in this lonely culture. TV shows, you know, it's 30 years later after Cheers, but you can still say, "You want to go where everybody..." See, you still know that. 30 years ago, show went off the air. 30 years ago. You know, then Friends came popular, and their song says, "I'll be back for you when the rain starts to fall. I'll be there through thick and thin. You can count on your friends." You know, these songs, the reason these songs resonate with people is because they bonded. They were close. They counted on each other. They were not alone. And understand, I'm not endorsing either of these two shows, but the shows do reflect that there's wholeness that people are seeking. We're constantly searching for that, the fulfillment of those identities. Which, that in mind, I'd like us to look at Luke 19 today. Of all the gospel writers, Luke is the only writer who includes this story. It's been taught before. Well, I've mentioned it before. But it's the only of the four gospel writers that includes it. See, he has just been writing for several chapters. Jesus cares about people who were lost. He had the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin and parable of the lost son and all those things. And then he comes up to this as kind of the climax of it. And Luke 19:1 says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. It didn't take a genius to figure that out. He's passing through. He wasn't going to stay there. He was just entering Jericho on the way to someplace else. But something happened that made him change his plans. Verse 2, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. We've talked a little bit about tax collectors, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but understand they were hired by the Roman government. They were Jewish people hired by the Roman government to weigh taxes on the people. And there was no real rule about it. You know, if a tax was $5 for every 100, he charged $10 for every 100. And then he would give Rome 5 and he would keep 5. They didn't care. They really didn't care how much he charged. And since he was the chief tax collector, everybody who cheated all the people gave him a cut. So he was by far the wealthiest of the tax collectors. He was well known by the people and much hated by the people. And so this was a huge scam, and Zacchaeus was very rich doing it. Verse 3, he wanted to see who Jesus was. Now, I kind of get from that, he didn't know Jesus. Probably had never spoken with him. He may have heard about him. He may have heard that he's done some miracles. He have heard that there was a rumor about him being the Son of God. He's heard these rumors, but he's never laid eyes on him. But because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. Now, it's hard to understand that. I'm going to ask, Linda, would you stand up? Bob, would you stand up? Imagine Linda standing behind Bob. She couldn't see over him, could she? Okay, now you get the idea. Thank you. Well, that was Zacchaeus. He was in the back of the crowd. He was short, and he had a bunch of Bobs in front of him. And so he couldn't see, but he wanted to see. So he did something I thought was kind of clever. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. He knew Jesus was walking down this path and had all these Bobs that were in front of him and couldn't see. So he ran down the road, climbed the tree so he could see. All the people saw this and began to mutter. Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped the verse. And when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hadn't met him before, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Now all the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be a guest of a sinner. They didn't mutter, isn't it wonderful? Jesus cares about sinners too. They didn't say, isn't that great? Jesus loves everybody. They didn't say, isn't that great that none of us can be so far out of God's love that he can't forgive me? They didn't say any of those things. They can almost hear them say the word. This is from Saturday Night Live. Remember? Sinner. You know, again, as a reference, Gen X's are going, what? What? Of course, Jesus knew what was being said. Listen to what comes out. But Zacchaeus stood up. Now, this is after a meal. And they had big meals. This you would think of it, maybe compare it to like a Thanksgiving kind of meal. This wasn't a holiday, but they really were big into serving courses, and they did a lot of talking in between, and they weren't in a rush. Meals were social occasions. So they took his time eating these foods and taking his time. And so finally, after they'd eaten and they had talked, Zacchaeus stood up. He said to the Lord, "Look, Lord," speaking specifically to him, "here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay them back four times the amount." What a deal. Now, he's saying this in front of the Lord, in front of the crowd who's hearing it too. Now, some people have gotten confused on this, and he's saying, "I've never cheated anybody. I've never done anything like that." But what he's saying is, first of all, I'm going to give half of my wealth to the poor. Done. Period. That's that. I'm just going to do that. I have more wealth than I can spend. So I'm going to give half of it to the poor. The second, he said, if I've cheated. The if part's what gets me. If I've cheated. I don't think it's the if means if I've cheated people. It means if someone's aware, someone knows, someone's holding it against me, I'll give you back four times the amount that I stole. He's doing all that he can within his power. That's what Romans talks about. Do all that you can to live at peace with one another. He was trying to show that he was repentant. And he's saying, I'll give back four times the amount that I stole. And that was a huge, huge statement. And this is what Jesus said to the man. And he said it so everyone could hear. "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." You see, it wasn't because he was wealthy. It wasn't because he had made mistakes. It wasn't because Jesus was pointing out that he'd made mistakes. The point was he was owning up to mistakes. Are you with me? That's the difference. He was owning up to it. Jesus had confronted him. And who knows what that conversation was like? You're talking to Jesus, the Son of God, who knows exactly what you're thinking. And if Jesus knows exactly what you're thinking right now, would he be happy? And he was thinking, I need to be honest with this man. So Zacchaeus came up with this plan. It was amazing that he came up with this plan. Okay, so there are several things jump out at me here. We're going to talk about a bunch of them, but here's one I'm making an educated guess about. Zacchaeus had been persecuted in his life. Well, Roger, where did you get that? You see, being short, you're made fun of, and that's persecution throughout your life. We've all seen or experienced how physical appearance impacts how we're treated. And what others say about you affects your emotional state. In this time, in this era, if you were short, you were considered to be cursed. If you were short, you were cursed. So it didn't make a difference what you were, what you did, what you said. You're short, you're cursed. So all of his life, he was getting this I'm cursed thing, and it began to affect his mental state, I think. And for many people, this defines self-worth. It's mean words turn into hateful words. And growing up with that kind of persecution, Zacchaeus may have been justified when he was thinking, you know what, I'll show them. I'll rob them blind, and I'll put them in their place. They're not going to call me shorty anymore. They're going to call me sir. And I believe that may very well have been the basis of his wanting to steal from people and this wealth to be able to work with the Romans. And that's how it may have started. You know, I tutored in Marion County schools for years when my kids were in school. And I saw a lot of little kids being picked on by bigger kids. And I always tried to intervene, but I always made a point to say to these bigger kids, you ought to be nice to this guy, because probably someday you're going to be working for him. And you better be nice to him now. And I thought, I wonder if Elon Musk ever had anybody pick on him when he was a little kid. Now they look at Elon Musk and say, oh, well, how dumb. But I said it to a lot of kids when they get bullied. And it's kind of true if you really think about it. All the nerdy guys are the guys that owns the big businesses that are doing really well. So they probably were picked on. Here's another thought of Jesus' disciple. Matthew was there. I remember Matthew, he's one of the disciples. He was probably there with Jesus at the dinner party at Zacchaeus' home. Now, here's why that's significant. No one other than tax collectors would have come to the party. Could there be anything so sad than throwing a big, lavish, wealthy party and nobody come? See, the only people that probably came were some tax collectors that heard about it and were local. And Jesus and Matthew. Isolation is a result of feeling rejected by others. And Jesus knew Zacchaeus needed God in his life. And Matthew was there for that meal and for that party. And he knew exactly how Zacchaeus felt. Why? Because Matthew had been a tax collector. He knew exactly how it felt to be rejected, to be isolated. He knew exactly how Zacchaeus felt. And I can imagine him leaning over to Zacchaeus and whispering, I know how you feel. I know you're being shunned by everyone. But truly living begins when you are right with God. What I've just described is the beauty of the church when it functions as it should. The beauty of the church when it functions as it should. I can't personally relate to all the problems that come through the doors of Ocala Christian Church. There's divorce, suicide thoughts, sexual addictions, drug addictions, uncontrollable anger, and I could go on and on and on and on and on with a list. I can't relate personally to every one of those. That isn't the area of my weakness or areas I've experienced. But I'm blessed that I've got a whole congregation full of people who love Jesus, and some of them who have had those kinds of backgrounds, who can help others. You see, God never wastes a hurt. He allows God can work through you to help someone else who's struggling with the same thing. And the reason this story speaks to all of us, because Jesus was perfect, which means he really couldn't relate very well to the Samaritan woman who was on her umpteenth husband and couldn't really relate sometimes to Zacchaeus' struggles, being persecuted and being put down. You know, that didn't happen to Jesus. You know, he said experience in all things, and he did have experience in many things living in this world, but he didn't have some of those things happen to him. So that's why he brought along Matthew. Matthew helped. If you've been hurt or judged based on how you look, you've been mistreated, ignored, put down. If you don't hear anything else this morning, hear this. You have been created in the image of God. You're like, well, I know that. No, you really need to grasp that. You've been created in the image of God. God doesn't create junk. I realize the playground can be one of the cruelest places in the world. We learn sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's not really true, is it? Words hurt a great deal, especially with children who are hearing them. Words wound. What may have started maybe simply as teasing. I got four eyes. I had glasses. I was four eyes. And, you know, dummy, weirdo, all those other names people throw around. It can lead you to a life of insecurity and deflated self-worth. And there's so much of that today in culture. I read 80% of Americans, if given the choice to make a major change physically in their appearance, would do so. 80%. MTV had a show, I Want a Famous Face. Fox had a show, Swan, to change appearance of people. NBC had Extreme Makeover. In my life, I've seen some amazing things done with science that we have today and some of the procedures they can do. And I'll be real clear. There's nothing wrong with wanting to look nice. There's nothing wrong with maybe even having something done that helps you to feel better about yourself or help you to breathe or help you to whatever. There's nothing wrong with that, folks. The only purpose it would be to make it a problem, make it a struggle, is the reason why you have it, the motivation behind the surgeries. It concerns me because self-esteem, identity, worth, value are all defined, should not be defined by physical appearance. And if we get ourselves being defined by physical appearance, we've got a problem, a big problem. And I've seen it over and over. I saw a guy, a show, it's a crazy show, watched a guy, he was receiving calf implants in his legs, calf implants. And after the surgery, he stood in front of the mirror and he was looking at himself, you know, doing all this and doing this. He said, girls won't be able to keep their hands off me. Delusional, you think? I think there's therapy in that guy's future. Physical appearance has little to do with beauty. And down deep, we really know that. But the question remains, are we living that way? And people don't understand me. Again, I'm not opposed to people making themselves look nice. If they want to look nice, that's fine. If they can enhance their looks in some way, that's fine. Let's just go back to being the reason why. Ladies, let's be a Proverbs 31:30 kind of woman. Charm is deceptive, beauty fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Men, how about us going to be a 1 Samuel man? Man who looks at the outward appearance, but it's the Lord who looks at the heart. Someday we are all growing old. And some of us that are head of the pack. We'll all have wrinkles. We'll all have bags under our eyes. We'll all lose our hair. Some of you going, check, check, check. Guys, we're going to have hair growing out of our ears and other places we never intended it to. And women, let me just say, gravity is not your friend. All of us will one day lose our looks, but we don't have to lose what truly makes us attractive, our resemblance to our Heavenly Father. I love the Amy Grant song, I Have My Father's Eyes. See, that's what our resemblance needs to be like. We're living like our Heavenly Father. We resemble Him. We've got to learn to treat one another as God sees us. As God sees. Those few things that may seem unimportant, but they're simple and they have an impact on you. I'm going to share them real quick, running out of time. A little simple one. Smile. Smile. Isn't that simple? Cost you nothing. There's a few things that seem so unimportant, but in spite of what everything else thinks, a smile will tell a person that you look good. They're just seeing you and smiling at you. It's the most inexpensive and non-surgical way to improve your looks. I bet you've seen probably an attractive person on TV, but they had a frown on their face. And it totally changes their demeanor. Even though they're really an attractive person, without a smile, they don't look good. So smile. It's free. It's cheap. Look into people's eyes. Our eyes are the window of the soul. You can communicate a lot by looking at people's eyes rather than looking down. We live in a generation, I see this over and over. People walking down the streets. They bump into you. You're coming into a restaurant. Oh, yeah. Linda and I were out to eat a couple days ago. Nice restaurant. We're sitting there holding hands, talking. I look over. There's a couple. Both on their cell phones, not talking a word to each other. Every once in a while, pull your face out of reading or your cell phone and look at people. Look at their eyes. When you see their eyes, you smile. It's a great way to communicate to people. You know, that's just speak to. Here's number three. Call people by their name. Sweetest name this side of heaven is your own. Everybody likes to be called their name. You know, we struggle really hard to try to get people to wear name tags. And I know some of you refuse to do it. But I will tell you, without question, the people who wear name tags regularly know more names of people than those who don't. Because you get to call them by their name. Jesus walking by, he didn't go, hey, you, buddy, in the tree. He said, Zacchaeus, come down. Well, Jesus had this ability to know beyond normal ability. He knew Zacchaeus' name, but he used it. He didn't just say, hey, you tax collector. Hey, you buddy, come down. See, we love to hear our names mentioned. So use a name. Call people by their names. Don't underestimate that. Here's a fourth. Listen to people. I mean really listen to them. That's sometimes difficult. People are walking out the door sometimes, and people are trying to tell me things, and I have bad hearing to start with. And sometimes I'll ask them, hey, could you stand over here and just wait a little bit till the crowd's gone down so I can really listen to what you're saying? Because sometimes I can't hear very well. And sometimes you and I in daily life, we're so busy thinking about what we're going to say that we don't hear anything that's being said. So we just miss out on a conversation. So really listen. There's a lot of people I found. Here's 46 years of wisdom and counseling that I can share with you real simple. A lot of people do not look for you for an answer. They just want to tell you their story. Be a quiet, easy listener, and let people tell you their story. When they're upset, when they've been traumatized, when something's happened and it's not good, you just need to be a good listener. Be a good listener. We need to look at Romans 12, 15. It says, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. You know, when people have passed away, everybody's, well, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. And we say in the process sometimes stupid things. But the people who have lost a loved one, what they remember most is when someone's come and sat down beside them and just sat with them. That makes all the difference. Someday all of us are going to receive a new body. Philippians 3, but our citizenship is in heaven. We eagerly await for a Savior there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Make sure you get this. These bodies we work with right now, they're shells. They're temporary shelter. They're going to be done away with when Jesus comes back. He will transform these bodies into bodies, head to toe, a makeover. We will have a new body. It's not going to be like this one. It's going to be different. But it's going to be a body that we'll be able to function with. Joseph Dameron was a missionary in the 19th century in Hawaii in a leper colony. Why he went there, he just felt God had called him there, and he ministered to those people for many, many years. One Sunday morning, he was preparing to get ready for church and for worship, and he spilled some of his coffee and his bare feet, and he didn't feel it. So he did another test and realized that part of his feet had gone numb, and it was one of the signals that the leprosy was starting to affect his nervous system. He dressed that day, went to church, he opened his sermon. You see, every week he would say, exact frame phrase, my fellow believers. But that morning he said, my fellow lepers. Some of you know how hard life can be, and maybe you've had a struggle in your life, and maybe some people have made it even harder by the way they've treated you. They've given you the ugly stares and the mean comments, and you have emotional scars from the way that they've made you feel. My prayer for you in this sermon is simply that the world should not dictate your value based on your physical appearance. Don't let that happen, because there's a God who knows your name. See, one of the many differences between God and Satan is this. Satan knows your name, but he calls you by your sins. God knows your sins, but calls you by your name. As one of the praise songs says, I know who I am because the I am tells me who I am. You're children of God. Live like it. Let's pray. Father, we live in a world that some of us have experienced has been very difficult. And Father, some people here, I believe, have struggled in their life for the things been said to them and about them and with them. They stray from self-esteem. They struggle with their worth. But Father, we know you don't make junk. You've created us. You've created us exactly the way you want us. You love us so much you sent your son. Our value it skyrocketed when we realized we were worth the death, the life of Jesus. Help us as we live our life daily to look for others that we can lift up. And be careful that we don't allow others to form our view of ourselves, others to denigrate us, others to tear us down, because we have a heavenly Father. We're the child of a king, and we have no reason to look down on ourselves or feel bad about ourselves. One day you will come back for us, and one day we will receive a brand new body, not tied up to the world's looks and standards, but one that will be totally functional. Father, for those of us who are older, who are feeling the aches and pains of age and struggling with health, that body won't have any of those. We never again will have to open a pill bottle and put a pill into a container for us to take in our day. Lord, we're going to have a body that will be able to help us serve you in all things. Help us now, while we are here, while we are now struggling on this earth, while we are the strangers of this planet, to recognize that we still have a heavenly Father and that you still love us and you're still caring for us, and you're still looking out for us, and that today we can have a joyful day even if the world around us is not, because we love you, and you love us so much. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.